All right, good evening, Cornerstone. If you're just coming in, we'd like to have you come over and have a seat. Let's gather together before we begin our time of worship and reflection. Let's stand and sing it together, because we're here together to worship. Light of the world.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Of all days,
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly, humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. It cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost. to see my sin upon that cross. To say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Sing together, O sacred head now wounded.
O sacred head now wounded, with grief and rain weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn?
What thou, my Lord,
hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace.
What language shall I borrow?
What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should
wondered why we refer to the day Christ died as Good Friday? Seems somewhat strange, doesn't it? I mean, Friday is the day that he who was celebrated had become despised. He who was innocent was punished like the guilty. He who was the lion was slaughtered like a lamb. That doesn't seem good. And consider the Pharisees and their motives. For them, it was a premeditated murder, though it was actually a predestined sacrifice. They thought they were taking his life, though he was in fact surrendering it. Death was their goal, yet life was the outcome. Because God had other plans, he made one day affect all of eternity. He turned the wounds of one into healing for many. He transformed our worst acts of hate into the greatest expression of love, so that at the cross, we can hand over our sins in exchange for righteousness. We can lay down our burdens and pick up freedom. We can come broken, yet leave restored. The enemy thought it was going to be a bad day. We now call it good. And though we all thought it was the end, it was actually just the beginning. It seems God has a way of rescuing us from ourselves and flipping things around. Maybe that's why we call it Good Friday.
Because the cross is usually something that would be seen as something shameful. Where does people despised go? But God has turned it into a blessing for us. A single wonderful cross.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, so drawn near and
bless your name.
Sing, oh, the wonderful cross.
Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name.
Sing, where the whole realm.
One of the things you've heard us say many times is it's all about Jesus. The cross is a summation of Jesus' earthly ministry. So each Good Friday, we explore some element of it. And this Good Friday, there are three elements I want you to look at. You have a little card, and in a few minutes, I'll give you time to read the scriptures. But the first, there will be a time of silence, of reflection. As much time as we need. And I'd ask you to meditate upon the words printed there from Isaiah 53, which describes how Christ was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That summarizes up what Christ did. Our transgressions is not just an ancient word for sin. It's a word that means rebellion against authority. Our transgressions are where we rebelled against God. For many people, that's hard to think of. They've seen their sin as a social offense, as a personal offense, as bringing detrimental consequences, but they haven't thought about it in terms of God. And it may be that you will need to take some of this time to reflect on how is my sin a transgression. How did it crush Christ and how he laid down his life for us? There are three thoughts that come from that. First is, what is sin itself? Sin is anything that falls short of the perfection of God, which we describe with the word as holiness. It creates a separation between us. In the Linus, the Peanuts comic strip, there's one character called Pigpen. It still runs in the Tribune, and you can read it. And Pigpen is always surrounded by a cloud of dirt. And all the other kids want to keep away from him because if he gets near them, he makes them dirty. Sin does that between us and God. Relative to the people in the state penitentiary or the federal penitentiary or the Idi Amin's and Adolf Hitler's and other dictators of the 20th century, we're probably pretty clean. But relative to the absolute holiness and perfection of God, we fall short. That's what sin is. And yet Christ's sacrifice paid the penalty for that. Rather than making us pay the penalty of eternal separation from him, from God, God sent his Son to pay the price. The Apostle John said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Therefore, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. To confess your sin is to say the same thing about what God says about it. And that often takes reflection and study of the Word before you can come to the point where you really see it as God sees it. Forgiveness, which God promises to do if we confess, is the removal of the penalty due to us for our sin. Every consequence, every penalty, the condemnation that's due for us is removed by forgiveness. That happened because Christ paid the penalty on the cross. There are two other elements I want you to consider, though, too, this Good Friday as we come to the cross. The burdens which wear us down that we carry in life. I often picture people as having a little backpack on. And as life goes on, we throw things into the backpack. We throw the friend we had in grade school and the fight that never got resolved that was our best friend. And that rock gets in our backpack. And there's other things that happen with family and friends and people we date and people we work with and people we live near. Sometimes things we do to ourselves. And all those things get loaded into the backpack and they become burdens that wear us down. Sometimes we think that life is just carrying those things around. But Romans 12 says that God's will for us is good and pleasing and perfect. So those things aren't God's will for you because they're not good and pleasing and perfect. We need to learn to take those burdens to the cross. You have a large white card with a pencil. And on that card, first, I'd like you to write the sins that stand between you and God. No one will look at the card. Eventually, after a time of reflection, you will come up and nail it to the cross. Fold it over so that no one sees it. When service is done, I take the cards down. I'm very careful. In all the years I've been a pastor, I've never seen the words on a single card. I'm very careful not to look at them. I put them in a bag, take them home, and run them through a shredder. No one but God sees them. If you want to use a shorthand and just use the first letter of each word, that's fine. But what are the sins that stand between you and God? Write them on the card. But then what are the burdens that you've been carrying? Some of you have been carrying burdens for most of your life. Some childhood problem, family issue, something that you did to yourself or allowed to be done, or someone did to you. And you don't know what to do with that. I think one of the hardest burdens we sometimes carry is when we've been the object of another person's sin. I read in the paper today about a man that the Chicago judge gave 50 years in prison for the terrible things he had done to young women, even going so far as branding them with a tattoo. You are my possession, and I can do with you as I wish. And what the judge gave him was nothing compared to what he deserved. But those girls for many years will carry this being sinned against. And I dare say all of us carry it some manner, in some form, in that backpack. Not just the burdens of the consequences of our actions, but the burdens of the consequences of other actions, often against us. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, in one sense, they knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted to kill him. It was premeditated, it was planned, it was orchestrated. They knew exactly what they were doing in killing him. But they really didn't understand that they were rejecting the only one that could ever restore them to a relationship with God. The only one who could ever deal with the burdens that they were carrying in their backpack. They did not know it. And interestingly, he said, "Father, forgive them." He gave the right for judgment to the Father. If the Father's going to forgive him, that means the Father's the one who judges. Jesus, as the offended one, had every right to be angry, every right to call for their judgment and their condemnation, every right to call for justice, but he gave it to the Father. Why? Why did Jesus come into the world? Why was he sent? To love the world, to die for the world, to reconcile us to God. And as long as he bears that rock in his backpack of being sinned against, how can he reach out to them in love and forgiveness and restoration? So he didn't deny the need for justice, but he gave it to the Father, and it set him free. When we come to Jesus to give our burdens to the Father, we find healing or set free to live God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. So take those burdens and write them down. And nail them to the cross and leave them there this evening. And every time Satan brings them up, every time that it comes up again, go back and say, "No, I put it on the cross. It's the Father who will judge. This I can promise you. He knows all the facts, even better than your memory knows them. And he is far more holy and just. And his judgment will be far more holy and just than yours ever could be. but he will also set you free to love your enemy. Thirdly, and there are scriptures to read there, sin and burdens scar our soul. Eventually, they bend us over, and sometimes even we become broken people. Jesus' work to redeem did not end at the cross. On the third day, he rose from death to life. The resurrection is the promise that our brokenness will be healed and replaced by wholeness. Let me say that again. The resurrection is the promise that our brokenness will be healed and replaced by wholeness. After you go to the cross, you'll come to the table here to take the communion elements. As you take of the bread representing the body of Christ and the blood, the cup representing his blood, you are taking of the elements that are the sign of the new covenant. You are taking of the elements that remind us that God has a purpose, and that purpose is his will, which is good and perfect and pleasing. Take a moment and thank God that you have been set free from those things, free from enslavement to sin, free to a life filled with shalom or rest or peace, free to live a life of holiness and experience God's good and holy and pleasing perfect will. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and you may have it to the full. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So those things that scar, those things that have bent you over, those burdens which have worked their evil work on your soul, nail them to the cross. Come and take communion. Take the freedom of resurrection. The body, the bread symbolizing his body, the blood, the new covenant. The new covenant is new life. That's Paul's words in 2 Corinthians. That you can be free to be who God made you to be. We'll take time now for reflection silently. When you have finished filling out your card and listed your sins and your burdens, those things that you look for God to God for, come up and take a nail and fold it over, nail it to the cross, and then come over and take the communion elements. You may want to kneel here and pray silently before you nail somebody to the cross. I would encourage you when you take the elements to remain by the cross, to contemplate it as you take of the bread and the cup. When you are done, return to your seat. And then when we're done, we'll resume in worship and prayer and song. But this is the time of reflection, for the state of our soul is at stake. Let me begin us with prayer. Father, reveal to us the needs of our soul, the sins that have come between us and you, the burdens that we have held on to or not known how to let go of. We come to the cross with our sins and our burdens. We come to the table to find new life. Speak now to us, for we are listening. there others who wish to come? Close our time in prayer. Father, we have sought to hear of that which has come between us and you. We thank you that you forgive sins, that you cleanse us. You not only remove the condemnation, but you make us clean and pure again. We have brought to you our burdens, some of which we've carried for many years. We know that they are become habits, and we will pick them up. Each time we do, remind us that we put them on the cross. May we leave them there in your hand, for you are just, you are forgiving, you are our God. We have taken of the elements. Grant us new life in Christ. Amen.
Let's continue our time and sing about the Father's love for us, that he would send his Son. Sing together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Give an answer,
But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
But this I know.
But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
This is a reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him. For he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you I was cast from my birth. And from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothes they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. This is the word of the Lord.
There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed.
listen to the story. About a love more faithful than the morning. The Father gave his only Son just to save us. The earth was shaking in the dark. All creation felt the Father's broken heart. Tears were filling heaven's eyes. The day that true love died, the day that true love died, when blood and water hit the ground. Walls we couldn't move came crashing down. We were free and made alive. The day that true love died, the day that true love died. Search your heart, you know you can't deny it. Come on, lose your life just so you can find it. Father gave his only Son just to save us. The earth was shaking in the dark. All creation felt the Father's broken heart. Tears were filling heaven's eyes. The day that true love died, the day that true love died, when blood and water hit the ground. The walls we couldn't move came crashing down. We were free and made alive. The day that true love died, the day that true love died. The earth was shaking in the dark. All creation felt the Father's broken heart. Tears were filling heaven's eyes. The day that true love died, the day that true love died. When blood and water hit the ground, and walls we couldn't move came crashing down, and we were free and made alive. The day that true love died, the day that true love died.
Would you please rise for the benediction? Now may you go, forgiven, because true love died for you. May you go freed from your burdens, because true love will pick them up and carry them for you. May you go free to become a new person, because true love will make you into the person he created you to be. Go this Friday, which is a good Friday. In his name, amen.